Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Iranian missiles blew the windows out of Israel's main hospital in the south and destroyed apartment buildings in Tel Aviv this morning. But late word from Iran, a meeting is now set for tomorrow in Geneva with Iran's foreign minister and European counterparts as war with Israel enters its second week. It's fears of a wider war that concern Illinois Senator Tammy Duckworth on the Armed Services Committee. She was an Iraq War Army pilot.
I just don't want us to get to a place where, following whatever happens here, we're in a situation where our adversaries like the PRC or North Korea or Russia decide that they need to actually put a lot more effort into helping Iran.
Texas, a SpaceX rocket was being tested late last night when the Starship exploded, sending a fireball into the sky. SpaceX describes it as a major anomaly. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. In March, the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction awarded the Manitowoc Public School District a $75,000 grant to launch a recovery high school. Superintendent Lee Tennis said only about 15% of the students in recovery in his district are proficient in reading. Only 10% are proficient in math. But now, thanks to the grant, the Manitowoc schools, with almost a dozen area organizations, plan to create a high school dedicated to helping students in recovery thrive academically and meet the unique challenges and needs of the students overcoming substance use and the mental health challenges that come with it. Manitowoc was one of only four school districts to receive the grant. Following an incident recorded at Bay Beach last week, Green Bay Police Chief Chris Davis says yes, the Cops TV show is back in Green Bay to follow police officers for possible content. No, the city nor the police department do not get paid for allowing cops to film. This is not the first time Cops has been in Green Bay. They were here in 2016 and a bit last fall. Davis said the department has the final say on whether any content will air or not. Door County's inaugural Juneteenth gathering will be from 10 a.m. till 5 p.m. Saturday, June 21st at Sturgeon Bay's Martin Park. The free event welcomes all residents and visitors to celebrate Juneteenth's history, culture, and significance. Many in the African American community consider Juneteenth an Independence Day, as it marks the day slaves in Texas learned of the Emancipation Proclamation 2.5 years after the fact. Texas made Juneteenth an official state holiday back in 1980, and in 2021, the Biden administration declared Juneteenth a federal holiday. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News. For news anytime, visit WISS.fm.
The Brewers and Cubs today. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers and Cubs today at Wrigley Field. Last night's game rained out in Chicago. It's been rescheduled as a doubleheader for August 18th. NBA, the Los Angeles Lakers being sold to the corporation that owns the Dodgers for a price tag of nearly $10 billion. Jeannie Buss, whose family's owned the Lakers since 1979, will remain in charge of the team. NFL, Ed Policy takes over next month as the Packers' new president. I asked him how he'll be different than Mark Murphy.
I think you'll have a lot more similarities than differences between me and Mark. One thing that I will use every day that he really helped me develop is Mark was just probably the most inclusive leader. He hired great people, and then he used them. He would seek out their advice and their opinions whenever he was coming up with a decision. So I think that level of collaboration is something that I'm really grateful that he's passed on to me, and I intend to use it every day.
That's the Packers' Ed Policy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A mix of clouds and sun and warm today, with a few scattered showers and thunderstorms developing by late in the afternoon. Highs in the lower 80s. That chance of showers and thunderstorms continues tonight. Low temps in the middle 60s. Currently, it's 62.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin.
Chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right? You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, ICE agents are taking people into custody with no identification and they're masked. What is the legality of that? Jim Santel will join us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin, live from the Civic Media Studios, this is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Yeah. Good morning. Happy Thursday to you.
It is.
It is.
And it's, this is a,
doesn't look bad.
No, I was just going to say, but this is like a holiday. Just Juneteenth.
Yes.
There's no mail. Places are closed. Do you believe that? I mean,
like
I
post office and everything.
Well, no, but
government offices,
some businesses, Salvation Army. You know, they're closed because this is a legit holiday.
Well, it should. It commemorates the worst thing that's ever happened in our country.
Well, I don't know what to. Not really. It's. What do you mean?
Slavery?
No. But this is.
But isn't that what it's about?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But it's really about the notification that slavery was abolished.
Oh, well, yeah, okay.
So, but you're right.
Yeah.
I agree. Okay, we're on the same page. But this is kind of a holiday today, a little bit. I don't know what's all going on in the community, but I was looking, you know how you get those pictures on your phone 10 years ago, 12 years ago, but...
How many years ago was it when you had those short shorts?
I don't know. That's not what we're talking about. But there's some pictures that when we celebrated Juneteenth with Randy Scannell.
Scannell.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's today. But yeah, the weather, no, it's.
But did you see.
Going to be super nice today.
Did you see Illinois? Right. And it missed Wisconsin. I'll tell you what, Wisconsin's been so lucky. There was that band in Illinois coming up right through Springfield, Illinois, and everything. I want to say 12 to 14 tornadoes. Then it went into Michigan, like around Grand Rapids-wise. It was heading that
really?
Way, where it could have headed so easily, just straight up. And it would have been just right through central
us.
Wisconsin. And then I saw a thing that Brittany had in her thing the other day, northern Minnesota, that whole Hibbing area and everything up there. They were under big-time tornado warnings and got hit with some stuff. And we are right the middle of all this and not getting hit.
And even last year we talked about that.
That's
it's just we
mom.
Are...
Huh? Gunwood type thing. It's amazing.
Yeah. Although I want to say that when I got in here this morning, I was talking to Con. It did rain last night. I don't know if you were out last night. But
no. I was, you know what? You ever have one of those nights you don't know why, can't sleep? I sat and I worked on my book till 3:30 this morning.
Oh, wow.
Then I went to bed and I did not have, I had one of those damn dreams where I was in TV. And I didn't know how to use the editor to edit my story. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know how to do the whatever. So I was handwriting my script and trying to put that in the teleprompter. And I jumped up two times, I know, thinking, I got it right. And then I looked at the clock. And it was like 4:05.
Yeah, it's me. That half hour.
And everybody has those for their jobs. I know, I'm not saying anything different. But when you have those, they can be so.
But I like. Dreams. I told you when I way long. I went and talked to this guy about dream analysis. He was a guy in Green Bay. He's not here anymore. Actually, died. But that may mean, and I think that would mean that maybe you're not prepared for an event coming up. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's something like that. Like, you know, the thing that you're in school and, oh my God, there's a test. And I didn't know there was a test.
Yeah.
That is the same thing. Do you have an event coming up that you're not as sure as you think you are about it? You know, that was, I just remember him saying that.
Yeah.
But anyway, that, yeah, if it's something that I know this, but then you get there and you don't know
right.
it. That means something's not clicking.
But the thing is, it's such vivid detail.
Oh, man,
it's
unbelievable.
It's such vivid detail. And, you know, they always talk about how, first of all, if I ever take Advil PM, craziest dreams you'll find.
Well, I got some better stuff.
Well, I know, you're Ambien, I know. But
not anymore.
But sometimes I think it's what you eat. And, okay, so I got to tell you the soup I made yesterday.
I think you're onto something with the eat, but go ahead. Yeah,
I think salt does it. Because, okay, here's what I had. All right.
I would think sugar, but.
So I bought some low sodium beef broth. Okay.
Good.
Low sodium, 30% less than normal.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But.
Still 500, but whatever.
300.
Okay. All right.
But 380, I think. Yeah. But four bags of frozen vegetables, of all different kinds of vegetables.
Yeah, you like those.
Like those. Okay. Bought shrimp.
Well, no, that was good.
Thawed some chicken.
Wow.
Thawed some salmon.
Who's all coming over?
All for myself. I put in about 14 different types of seasoning. I had chives. I had basil. I had, I love garlic salt. I had all those different things in there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I got from there's lots of salt. But the thing is, so I thought, okay, so I couldn't sleep. So I'm up all night and it's like, I need to flush myself. Because you're eating something that's so good for you. I mean, my gosh, chicken and shrimp and lobster, or not lobster, and salmon and all vegetables. It's really, really good for you.
Yes.
Okay? So, but except for the salt.
Yeah.
So I said, well, I'm going to wash the salt out so you don't have that feeling like when you step on the scale. Even though mentally you know it's from retaining
water
and everything.
It still bums you
out. So I drank like a gallon of water. But on the scale this morning, 5 pounds more than I was yesterday morning. And it's like, you know you didn't put on 5 pounds of fat. And it's eventually just going to wash away. But there's still that feeling of, I just ate the healthiest thing I've ever had. But I think when I eat stuff with a lot of salt, like that.
It does retain.
It whacks my brain.
Oh, that's you're saying it affects your dreams?
Yeah.
Hmm. I know sugar does, but I don't know. Maybe it does. Hey, a couple things you can do with that. One is, did you ever try that no salt salt? That my doctor said, and I've had it. It's well, not as salty as salt, but it... It's a flavor. The other thing is that garlic powder instead of garlic salt.
I'm going to try that the same day, okay, that I drink non-alcoholic beer.
Okay. Give it a little bit of a try then. That stuff, yeah. You're right. It's a why. Why do it, right?
Exactly.
This stuff's a little bit better than non-alcoholic beer, I think.
My mom or dad, they had high blood pressure, too, and they used to use that.
Not so salt.
But let's put it this way. No. I will say this. I mean, they had that one little thing, and I bet it lasted from 1971 to 1978.
They had that big box of blue stuff.
And it never went anywhere. Yeah.
Anyway.
I didn't buy garlic, like the crushed garlic. Because that adds so much to it. So I had to use the garlic salt.
That's pretty strong stuff, too.
Yeah.
But I
love garlic. I could eat garlic for every meal.
And it's, yeah, if you don't
I love it when I sweat and it almost smells like garlic.
Ugh, yeah, everybody but you.
Have you ever noticed that here some mornings?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Just saying.
Out of the pores. But
yeah.
But garlic powder, I'm telling you, I went to a class and they're like, look, if you need to make one change, because I said I like garlic salt. And they're like, look, church of garlic. And that's... It's just as good. It's just as strong.
Yeah.
So I don't know. You might want to.
But I think I'm experimenting so much with my soups.
Yeah, that's
okay.
That's good for you.
That I think I could become a soup maestro.
Yeah, summer and soup. I don't like soup now.
See, Jim, which one of us study medicine? Me.
Okay, that's news to me. I've been working with you for 2 years.
I don't like to brag.
No, that's yeah.
Here's the deal. Here's the deal. There's that thing going where if you drink something hot when you're sweating really bad, it does more for you than drinking something cold. Because when you're hot, it says, oh, I'm hot. I got to open up my pores and sweat more and cool this person down.
Yeah.
That's why I eat the soup in the summer to open my pores.
Yeah.
I want them wide open.
Theory that, yeah, I don't. Okay. Well, if you're going to be. Just for you, you're going to become the soup maestro? Because if you're going to start a business, which you always talk, that's going to be tough in the summer.
Well, I'm starting to write stuff down about what I put in stuff.
Okay.
And I'm going to come up with three good ones. And that's all I'm going to have is three good ones. Three good soups.
And you're going to post them so that we can all benefit from your...
Well, people will be nice. Like, hey, Mina, what do you got going today?
Right.
Okay. And I'd like to do something where we could actually open up one of these windows or something, sell it right during the show, just sell it right out of the studio here.
Okay.
Three soups. That's going to be the name of it. What's the name of Mina's place? Three soups.
That you know that's going to be interesting.
I
people
know.
Are going to come to see what the three soups are.
Absolutely.
You're going to change them up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But that way you're not making one that nobody eats and then you throw it away or
right.
give it to your cat or whatever.
Right. Maybe. Doug, you can't do it out here.
You can't sit here and just automatically say, like you do a lot of times, don't even thinking about this, let it percolate a little bit. That's dumb. This one has some merit, true?
Ugh.
How much? See?
No,
see?
And then you guys get sourdough bread, but
nope.
Voyager, you partner with them.
Bring your own bread.
OB.
Yep.
B-O-B.
Yep.
All right, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
So there you go.
Okay,
you go.
All right. Well, on top of it. I had...
Is Michael sitting there?
Oh, Michael. Med Talk with Mino. Hey, he...
Med Talk with Mino? That's not bad.
One of our listeners just sent that in.
I like it.
Med Talk with... I think there could be...
I think there's some
yeah,
potential
yeah,
with that.
Yeah. Then that would lead to, we could do another segment, lawsuits with Mino or
that's
something.
That's good,
you know,
too.
That would be.
Yeah. By the way, our girl Sarah posted, good morning, boys. Vicky says, good morning, boys.
Isn't that nice?
Very nice.
That's people.
Sarah was outside your house again last night.
I don't think so. She didn't come over. And I'll tell
but
you
she
what.
She sent pictures from over there. It looked like it rained pretty hard in the park.
You know what?
Did they still have it?
They did.
And okay.
Okay. John, do you know, so we had the
Big Mouth?
No, the night before.
Yeah.
And what was it, 500 people there?
Yeah.
450, 500. It was awesome. And then there's the Alloway Village Band, but now they call it the AVB, which is all-volunteer band. You know, they play and Pulaski plays. The city of Green Bay pays our band for that 1 hour $3,000.
Okay.
Out of taxpayer money. They have a rain date the next day. If it rains, you'll play the next day. Tonight it's going to be what? Do you see the weather? It's going to be unbelievable this afternoon. Sunny, and it's like going to be like, I don't know, 75 degrees.
You see it might get like the heat index into the hundreds on Sunday?
Yeah, that.
Ooh.
Yeah, I got a graduation party that
Convoy,
day.
You golfing on Sunday?
You know what?
Are you?
I might have to, but wear a lot of sunscreen, though.
Well, you know what? That might be a good day to golf because people may not golf.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so you
might be able
to get your tee time you want.
You're right.
So
you're right.
But anyways, no, John. So last night, we had some friends over, and it's like a lady came over. It wasn't Sarah. A lady came over. Are we going to have, is she in the band with her music stand? Do you think we're going to have the concert tonight?
They came to you to ask. Okay.
But I will say, John, I just want to say, back in the day, it was my decision and the park director.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
Because now the band, once they play the first note, they get paid. So there was maybe 40 people there last night, 50 people. So that's like $3,000 for 50 people. Last year, they did that twice. They started to play 6 minutes later. Okay, we're done. They got their $3,000. So I think if the band director, who is maybe driven a little bit more by money than the audience, he shouldn't make that call. That call should be made by the mayor and the park director. So I wrote to the park director last night, sent him pictures. I'm like, look, this is ridiculous. This is $3,000 is a lot of money. It just is. There's a lot you could do with that. So
is the park director the guy you sent out to shut us down that time when me and Nick were doing that show in the park with the wild animals and the brat cookout? Without license or permits?
No, because
I know it was Jaden that tried to shut down our unscheduled parade we did with the flatbed trucks when the Green Bay Blizzard won the championship.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Remember that?
There were a lot of people at that parade. But I do. I remember that. But someone's got to be in charge, and someone's got to make a decision that said, look, you guys, we're not going to spend $3,000 to entertain 50 people, half of which are spouses of the band. So we're going to play tomorrow night, which would be tonight, which would be great tonight. There'd be 400 people there tonight. But so that's got to change. And I told Con when I came in this morning, I said, look, I did write a letter to the parks director, send pictures. Maybe he can come on and explain the process.
That'd be great. But also, I saw a thing with Kevin Van Ness last night. They were putting Ashwaubenon on.
Yeah.
And they brought everybody like on stage because it was raining hard. So they brought all, there's like 40 people or whatever, and they brought them up on stage, like under the shell or something.
Okay.
Kevin, if you're listening, what did you guys do?
That's awesome.
And that sounded really cool.
That's fun.
Yeah.
That's cool. But
yeah. All right. We're going to set our quick break. Man of the Man here on our favorite day of the week. Second favorite day of the week. Back after this.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of the Todd Allball Show.
Looking for food, fun, and live music this summer? Head to Area 509 in Appleton with Caribbean Taste. Every Friday, enjoy a food truck rally from 5 to 8 p.m. with live music from 5:30 to 7:30. Starting June 1st, don't miss the Triple S Market every Sunday, 1 to 5. Sip, shop, and sing with local vendors, open mic, and rotating food trucks. And mark your calendar for June 14th. It's Second Saturday Music with Luminati from 6 to 10 p.m. It's all happening at 1025 North Badger Avenue. Come join the fun.
Insight Eye Care has been serving the Fox Valley for over 30 years and are proud sponsors of Mino and the Mayor's Eye on the Community. Insight offers comprehensive eye care, including glasses and contact lenses. Their doctors have a special interest in treating chronic eye disease, specialty contact lenses, and pediatric care. Find Insight on Sawyer Street in Oshkosh and Chain Drive in Appleton. Visit WIinsight.com to schedule your eye exam. Improving lives by improving sight. Insight Eye Care.
This update sponsored by UW Credit Union. For every stage of life, UW Credit Union is here for every you. Don't miss an extra special Bryce Terang Platinum Glove Brewers Bobblehead Giveaway on July 26th, courtesy of Wintrust, Wisconsin's Bank. The first 25,000 fans through the gates will collect the bobble. Get your seats now at brewers.com/giveaways. Join UW Credit Union at uwcu.org, insured by NCUA.
Hey, it's John Mino.
And Jim Schmidt from Mino and the Mayor.
Want to stay in the loop with all things Northeast Wisconsin? Sign up for the WISS weekly newsletter.
Get the latest local stories, updates on the weather, and a special feature from our Mino and the Mayor podcast.
It's your one-stop shop for real news and great conversation in Northeast Wisconsin.
Log on to WISS.FM today and get signed up.
Real news, great conversation. Get signed up today at WISS.FM/newsletter.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
WGBW 98.3 and 96.5 FM. WISS, of course, the Civic Media app worldwide. 64 degrees in Green Bay, 63 in Appleton, 63 in Oshkosh. Stray shower or possible thunderstorm is possible. High in the low 80s. Boy, we sure went from fire warnings and drought to... will say this. This is mosquito breeding weather. This is when they thrive.
Okay. I haven't...
I haven't been out at all, but yeah, I guarantee you, up in the UP in the backwoods,
yeah,
they're eating good. They are eating good. I got a couple of sensitive spots on my body. We've talked about this. My ankles, mosquitoes go insane. I remember there was a time I was interviewing a guy for one of my books down in like Oshkosh-ish, and I was coming back to Green Bay, and I had to stop at like a Walgreens and go in and buy like... almost like calamine lotion or something.
Right.
It was so bad during the interview. I want to scratch my ankles till they just rip the skin off of them.
Yeah, no, don't do that.
I don't know what it is or something. So that's why, you know, what I started doing that was a cure-all, really, was I put a plastic bag. When I was at the camp, I'd put a plastic bag, okay, under my sock, and then I'd spray Raid on the sock. And that would that works perfectly.
That's got that DT stuff in. You don't want that in your skin.
No, again, Jim, at this point, if that's what's going to kill me, okay.
But, John, just use Off.
That doesn't work. These mosquitoes up there that pay. I think it attracts them.
They laugh at it.
One thing I've been told really works well, if you don't mind the smell, is Vicks. That mosquitoes will not go anywhere near Vicks.
Well, I don't think that Vicks has its own. I don't think it's the worst smell.
Methyl.
I mean, it does.
Yeah.
I don't.
Well, it just doesn't bring back images of the fourth
kid,
grade,
right? I know.
And that kid, whose mom made him wear the Vicks on his chest.
Yeah, I know. And the kid smelled everything.
Yeah, because your second cousin Eugene had pneumonia.
Right.
You know,
The mosquito thing. I just haven't seen them when I was a kid. We haven't had mosquitoes around our place. I know. But you say this is the time they're coming out?
Well, this is the weather. This is breeding weather. Because now with this rain, and you get the little, not even ponds, but the little standing water.
Right.
Oh, my God. They go at it like rabbits. Huh.
Okay.
Well, they do. They breed crazy.
Yeah. Okay.
Mosquitoes get around, man. They got something. It's like unbelievable. If they could tap that for guys, we'd make a lot of money. But I'm just saying. So anyway, yeah.
All right. Sarah, though, she got back to us.
Sarah,
thanks for sending it. I wish you were going to come over last week.
So basically, she stalked you.
Well, no, she was welcome to stop because I had some. I cooked some food last night.
Okay, let me just say this. Sarah says, I didn't stop since it was raining.
Right.
I stayed under the concession shelter and just took a picture of Jim's house instead. Ha ha. Hey, Kevin Van Ness, you're out there. Give us a quick call. Conroy, you don't know how to use the phone?
Yes, I do.
Well, I don't know what the studio. What's the studio line?
Well, it's 920-264-0606.
Not so fast.
264-0606.
So
that's not that hard to.
Chuck Cecil, Brett Favre, Herb Adderley.
There you go. That's okay. A way to remember it. I like
absolutely.
It.
He does all his numbers. That's how I do all my numbers that way.
Most of us just put them in their phone. But yeah, that's you do, and you are actually. Spot on.
I told you how I remember things.
I know that.
Thinking of other things that bring back the thing.
That can work. That's a Carnegie thing a little bit, but they wanted you to associate it with weird things, but then you remember it anyway.
That's what I do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yours is more numbers though. That would be hard for me.
Okay.
If somebody said, what's my phone number? Why would I look at that person and say, Brett Favre, Herb Adderley? I would.
But there's got to be a connection.
What's the connection?
And
how do you do that?
Give me a quarterback. Okay,
Jim Zorn.
Well, I know that one though. Pomona, my good friend that I worked with in Twin Falls, Idaho, was from Pomona. I told you about Jim Zorn, big time Christian. I was the Lord, wasn't with us today or wasn't, and he was going to come on my show later that night and say, Jim, could I get your number so I can give you a call? Just somebody goes, here's this. Just so you know, you give this to me, I will kick your ass.
Praise Jesus.
Can I say the A word? It was just funny. It was all so, and then he was serious. Oh, there are so many of those Christian phonies in sports. You can't believe it.
They're in politics too, John.
Oh, my Lord, my Lord. Was it loaded with them? And the people that knew the real them,
But
yeah,
I as much as you hate to see these guys fall, like these guys on TV, it's like, are you really shocked? This guy's doing this,
doing what? I wasn't going that far.
Oh my gosh, that guy!
Politics gets around.
No, I'm talking about
media.
The guy and oh my god, there's so many stories about that. It's like, give me a break.
Well, I will admit this. I think the funniest thing in the world is when these $1 billion preachers get busted for something.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's funny.
And when it's not a one time. This guy, they've been going and seeing this and doing that.
Any of those guys, I'm a firm believer. You can tell a guy by his hair. I'm a firm believer on that. And when they got that, it's even like with politicians. There's these certain, whatever thing you are, you got this. You must have these barbers you go to. They give this one certain hair. Excuse me, what are you, Republican? I'm a Republican. Okay, it's going to be really short on the side. Really, whatever.
Because we want to honor the, you're right. We're conservative, so we got to show the ears. Yeah.
True.
There's a lot of.
You got Kevin there, Conroy?
Yeah, he's on the phone.
Kevin!
Yes, good morning, gentlemen.
How are you, Kevin?
How you doing?
I saw your Facebook. I was telling Jim about it because hardly anybody showed out at his park last night. And I saw your post. Tell everybody what you did.
Well, we played two gigs yesterday. I was at Clipstein with Daddy D's, and they thought it was going to rain, so they put everything inside, and it ended up not raining a drop. And then after, I had talked to the town in Seymour for their summer concert series, and we get out there, John. It is raining cats and dogs, and we're all set up. And even some of these people that come out with their buses from seniors and that said, no, we're not coming tonight. And so we said, I was
Kevin,
down.
Kevin, when Kevin,
we had 50 or more people show up.
Kevin, I'm sorry. We got a central heartbreak where we get right back to you. I'm so sorry. Just hang that thought. Please, buddy. Back right after this. Sorry.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. The whole Democratic caucus in the Wisconsin legislature, that's 34 lawmakers, signed a letter supporting the striking workers at Cummins in Oshkosh. Representative Lori Palmieri and Senator Kristen Dassler-Alfheim spearheaded the effort to show support for United Auto Workers Local 291. The union's been striking at Cummins since March of this year, after working without a contract since January. The sticking points for the UAW Local 291 are a lack of a contract, temporary worker language that's been included in negotiations, and required Saturday shifts. Cummins in Oshkosh makes drivetrains and braking systems. The Joint Finance Committee finalized another piece of the Republicans' state budget, this time the operating budget for the Department of Corrections. There were some increases, but just a fraction of what was included in the governor's proposal. The Republican plan includes about $136 million in increases for the Department of Corrections statewide over the next 2 years. That includes paying for 18 new employees across the department. Governor Tony Evers' plan would have invested $500 million. Large chunks of that money would have gone toward closing long-troubled facilities in the state, including Green Bay Correctional Institution. Democrats called the Republican plan kicking the can down the road. Joint Finance Committee co-chair Mark Bourne.
This, you know, very much carries on the current mission of an important and very expensive department. It's nothing to be sad or upset about.
Republicans say they'll get to the capital budget, which would, in theory, include projects like closing GBCI in this afternoon's session. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News. For news anytime, visit WISS.FM.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A mix of clouds and sun and warm today, with a few scattered showers and thunderstorms developing by late in the afternoon. Highs in the lower 80s. That chance of showers and thunderstorms continues tonight. Low temps in the middle 60s. Currently, it's 62.
Matt Nair on air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, can we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, Vitaly's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Man, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe, weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwalbe.
On the next Nightlight, making the popcorn pick of the week will be the guy behind the guy. J.B. Thompson joins me in studio. Then I'm joined by Chelsea Myris from Old World, Wisconsin. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Whelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
Matt and Air on Air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, do we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt and Air on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Tomorrow, we've got celebrity guests. We've got Marcelia Nicholson, Milwaukee County Board Chair, Sabrina.
Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here. We're going to get back to Kevin Van Ness in just a few minutes, talk a little bit more about what they did last night and all these. Boy, the number one thing I think about when I see these forecasts are
outdoor events,
weddings,
man.
And yeah. High school graduations. Yeah. We have our guest on Convoy.
Yes, we do.
All right. Okay, let's introduce Pam Yonke, the fabulous farm babe, the Midwest Farm Report, coming your way on WGBW and WISS. June, of course, is Dairy Month and Mental Health Awareness Month. And welcome, Pam. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Yeah, I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Just like you guys, watching out to see what this weekend weather is going to look like.
Oh, boy.
Do you have any breakfasts on the farms this weekend coming up?
Oh, of course. Of course. I mean, let's face it. Every weekend, there's about 16. We're averaging about 16 dairy events on a Saturday or Sunday around the state. And we've got a brunch that's coming up on Saturday, and we've got a couple more that are on Sunday, kind of using the last gasp of June to try to get the people together. And I'll tell you what, I brought this up before. If you are thinking about going to any June dairy event, go where the cows are, because there will be an incredible amount of energy. And I'm not just talking people, I'm talking technology that will be working this weekend to make sure those beautiful bovines are kept cool and comfortable. And you might be in a better spot if you go hustle and hang with the cows than worry about standing in line for the food.
Well, but I told Jim about my son's high school graduation about 10 years ago now, and it was like the hottest day of the summer. It was like literally 94 degrees. We had a big tent, and one of the guests or whatever, relatives said, "Hey, I'll bring in a farm fan." I'm thinking, what are you going to do with a farm fan? That thing cooled off everybody. Everybody was completely comfortable by that one farm fan. I don't know. And it wasn't like it's one of these things that, you know, blows everything all over the place. It just really distributed air. What's the secret of those things, Pam?
Well, they have they run at quite a few RPMs, and they really do have to work through a lot of air. If you walk into a barn, I know that most people probably have, but pay attention to the ground, the floor. A veterinarian that I used to work with always said, if you can kind of see the barn lime, which is kind of the white substance we put down to absorb moisture, if you can see the barn lime kind of moving or the feeds kind of moving, that's the way you want your air circulating. You want enough CFM so that there's actually movement of those particles, because then you know the cows are comfortable.
Oh, interesting.
You know, you talk about those breakfasts on the farm, and you know, John and I have both done a ton of them, but the breakfast is really the small part of that. To go and tour those farms, you talked about the technology, but there's so much to see out there. That is just it's a great event for anybody, but for families, it's especially great. And there's just so much out there. And I think sometimes people think these poor cows, but you know, they're treated pretty well.
And they've got their own routine.
Huh?
They've got their own routine.
Yeah. And the way they milk them now, some of it's so automated too. And it's just, it's a great thing. So
well, you spend that's, that. Like I said, they come first.
Yeah. Right. Which as it should be. So this weather, 90s, maybe even 100 this weekend? I mean, does that.
Right.
Tell me what are the farmers? I mean, do they rely on this farmer's almanac? Do they think our weather's good here?
No.
Take it away, Pat.
Farmer's Almanac is a nice little conversation piece, but as far as reliability, I don't think that I know any farmers that plant by it or worry about it. But we do have a lot of technology that's telling us what's going on, and it's not just about the animals. We have to think about our crops. I mean, I farm in Oconee County, and let me tell you, we could use a few more degree growing units, we call it. So heat is a wonderful thing in moderation, just like everything else. And what we've ended up being is a little on the cool side for the month of June. So our soybeans, our corn is a little bit behind where we'd like it to be. Now, people say, oh, well, great. The farmers will love it this weekend. No, no. Nobody likes 90 plus in Wisconsin with the humidity it brings. A plant, a corn plant, for example, will basically start to shut down when you get into the mid and upper 80s. It's doing that to conserve moisture. It doesn't know when the next rain is coming. So it'll take advantage of the heat up into a certain point, and then you'll see it close down. And I'm sure there's a lot of folks listening that say, oh, yeah, you know, some of the ground is cracked where they haven't picked up the showers. That's a survival mechanism for that plant. So 90s are not what we're looking for. Nice, you know, couple 80 degree days would help us catch up a lot. But 90s, the plant just cannot really maximize on all that excessive heat. So it basically goes into survival.
I did not know that.
No, me then. Khan's our expert golfer, and he's with you guys. He's right, the 80s versus the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Well, when you drive past a field, if you drive past the field and you're just glancing out your car window, truck window, if you ever see corn plants, they start to wrap. The leaves will start to kind of wrap into a swirl. That's a survival mechanism, doing what it can to keep the moisture in the plant. Wow. So when we see the plants start to wrap, that's a sign that too hot.
Too hot.
Hey, I would have thought just the opposite. I would have thought, this is great. We got some water now. Hotter the better. I just learned something.
Is that true that corn, right? Remember your dad used to say if it's not knee high by the 4th of July, it's going to die? Is that true, or is that just one of those things we grew up with?
No, that's another one of those. It's a nice reference point. I think most farmers hope to heck that their corn's knee high by 4th of July. It's kind of a visual benchmark that you can use.
Yes.
And it's not so much about that point in time, but come on, guys, you're in Green Bay. You know, we start thinking right after 4th of July, then it's all of a sudden, you know, how much do we have left? When is that first frost? When is that first killing freeze? And that's really what a lot of farms have to start thinking about. Okay, which field is knee high by 4th of July? When are we going to start chopping silage? Which fields are farther along? Which are going to need a little bit more time? Which are we worried about that are really delayed and may not make it to first frost in the condition we want? So, you know, like I said, we worry about the weather when it comes to spring planting. Now we worry about the weather as far as plant advancement or making hay. And we're going to start worrying about the weather after 4th of July, waiting on, okay, are we going to get the heat? And what do we think the early frost is going to be? When do we think?
Wow, interesting.
You know what's funny, though, too, or not funny, but just kind of almost scary, is that there's such a fine line between, like, where I'm from in the UP, I don't know if there is a corn farm type thing. I mean, you know, it's just because the weather, but you think about that. You put in all this time, all this effort, all this money, and one frost, because I remember my dad used to love growing tomatoes. It was his pride and joy with his beautiful tomatoes. And I remember him, he'd be working at the mine afternoon shift, and I'd get a call at like 8 o'clock at night, and he'd say, run out and cover the tomato plants.
Yeah, right.
And you take plastic and newspapers. I mean, and it's like, okay, so that's just for his little garden in the patch location, much less some farmer whose mortgage is dependent on not getting a frost. Right. I mean, mentally, that is tough, isn't it? On farmers?
Well, like I said, that's why I grew up on a farm in O'Connell County, and I remember there was one year Father's Day. We had a Father's Day frost.
Yeah?
Wow. And, you know, I remember that farms were being advised. And now this, just get your mind around this. So you've planted a crop. The crop is coming up. The crop is not real high, you know, just a couple inches out of the ground. Frost comes. All of a sudden, there's black on the leaves where they've been nipped by this surprise weather incident. So farmers were being advised to go out there with what we call a flail chopper, which is basically just a kind of like rotating belts that strip off the vegetation of a plant. You normally wouldn't take it into a cornfield, but what they were telling us is go out and take off that dead tissue. Because a corn plant, until it gets a little bit taller, like, say, above 4 or 5 inches tall, what we call the apical growing point is still below the ground. So we could go out there and knock off every leaf on those plants. Just have nothing but just the stalk there. Looks like a disaster. But because the growing point was still in the ground, the plant continued to thrive and came back. That one was a was where you would just have to go on blind faith when the extension agent or your crop consultant's telling you that, because it flies in the face of what you think you should do. But it was exactly the right thing in that strange weather incident. Come on. If you're farming in northeast Wisconsin, you get strange weather incidents draped all over you.
That's cool that someone's working on that research, right? And they share the research, right? Well, that I didn't know that. Hey, I got a question. So I just defense. I grew up in the hood. When we drive by these, when we drive by these corn fields, is that corn for us or is it for the cows?
No, it is for the cows. So here's a cheat. Anytime you see a corn field, not so much right now, but as that crop develops and tassels out, you'll see the top of the plant gets, you know, kind of, I don't know what even to call them. They're not leaves, but you'll see that it kind of sprouts some growth on the top of the corn plant. If it's kind of a darker color, you know, a little bit more like the color of soil, that's all for the cows. All of it's for the cows. Now, if you see something in the distance and it's real, real light, blonde on the top of the plant, the very top of the plant, that's probably sweet corn because, and it'll have a thinner, finer, stalk, real fine, like, easy to tip over if we get a wind event. But yeah, 99% of the corn that you drive past is purely for the cows.
Did not know that.
See, John?
Never knew that. Never knew that. That's awesome. It's awesome to know.
Right. Cause you drive by that and it's like, I heard that, God, I had no idea that it was that percent.
No.
You know, I would have guessed 50-50. But,
Pam, anyway. We got an important question here.
This is kind of serious.
How important are mental health services for farmers? Is there a mental health crisis among farmers and ag producers these days?
I don't think that we talk about it very much by the nature of agriculture, but I think we really saw it amplified during the pandemic. And it wasn't just farmers. It was everybody.
Everybody.
But stop and think about it. Stop and think about it today. You know, when I was a kid, there was, you know, farms all around ours. My uncle farmed across the road. My neighbors were farmers. I mean, we had our own little community. So if you needed something, you needed help, you needed an extra tractor, you just called them up or you went over and grabbed one, brought it back later. Now, today's farmers are working by themselves to a large extent. They are by themselves all day. Why? Because the kids aren't really interested in farming. And they probably have their own life. Anybody that's got a teenager or tween or whatever, you know, they're about sports or extracurricular or seeing their buddies or being doing other things. And most parents want to give them those opportunities so they're not pressured into coming back to do chores or stuff like that. The wife works off the farm because maybe they need health insurance and that's a great way to do it. Maybe they need the extra income. That's a great way to do it. So it's basically the farmer and his dog and whoever else pulls in the yard. So when the milkman pulls in, I talk to him. If the FedEx or UPS guy drives in, I talk to them. That's about the extent of it. There aren't the farm neighbors near you that there used to be. So when we got to the pandemic and you took away farmers' opportunities to go to the feed mill and talk with one another, or going to church, which is a social mechanism for a lot of farmers, going to school events, the basketball, football games, etc., you really took away an incredibly important part of their social network. And then you factor in what happened during the pandemic. You and I didn't know how many gallons of milk are you going to be able to walk out with? Is there going to be any meat in the showcase? Are we going to get fresh produce? I mean, all of a sudden, people did not take for granted their food or where they were getting it from. Farmers got caught on the backside of that. Dairy processors couldn't get employees to come to work, so I can't come and pick up your milk. Well, what the heck am I supposed to do with it? I got another milking coming up in 4 hours, and I need that bulk tank space. So then they were forced to dump it.
Pam,
it happened in the pork industry.
We are out of time.
Wow,
can we get
super
you on again?
We
got to
talk
soon?
More about this. This is good stuff.
Like next week, can we get you on again to talk about this?
You bet.
All right,
awesome. You bet, guys, not a problem.
Thank you. You're awesome, Pam Yonke. Yeah.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
get back to Zaroni's. You know, the macaroni and pizza pub on Jackson Street in Oshkosh? They're back open under new ownership with all the familiar recipes you know and love. Enjoy the Zaroni's to-go lunch buffet. Fill up the box and they'll fill your drink, all for just $11.50. Buffet to go. Zaroni's Macaroni and Pizza Pub menu includes specialty mac and cheese, pizza, salads, appetizers, and desserts. The to-go buffet is open Tuesday through Friday, 11 to 2. Zaroni's is back. 2407 Jackson Street. Zaroni's.com.
Mark your calendars and head to Marinette on July 12th for the 13th annual Logging and Heritage Festival. Located on historic Stevenson Island, there will be free kids activities, food trucks, BMX stunt bikes, live music, logging exhibitions, fireworks, and much more. The island opens at noon and the fun doesn't stop until the fireworks are over. It's the Marinette Logging and Heritage Festival on July 13th on Stevenson Island in Marinette. Don't miss it!
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass-treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
Hey, it's Amanda, and we all know that Northeast Wisconsin has some of the best events around, but trying to find them all can be a little tricky. So here at WISS, we decided to do the work for you. Prevent boredom on any night by going to WISS.FM and click events in the top right corner. You'll never have to spend forever scrolling to find out what's going on in your area. And if you've got an event to share, hit us up! Email info at WISS.FM. We can work together to have real news and great conversation while giving you the 411 on what's happening in New Wisco.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. For the last few months, Governor Tony Evers has said repeatedly that he would make a decision about whether or not to run for a third term after the state budget process is completed. In a recent opinion column at the Recombobulation Area, I made the argument that the decision that Evers should make should be to not seek a third term as Wisconsin's governor. This argument is not one of ideological differences or policy disagreements. Tony Evers has been a good governor and has served the state well. This more has to do with Evers' age. He'll be 75 years old in November 2026, and about how the Democratic Party has had a massive, inescapable problem in its unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. Tony Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have struggled so mightily to do and step aside when the time is right. And after Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, this is a conversation we need to be having, and we need to be having it now. Democrats can't keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. It's time to do things differently.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Welcome back to Mino and the Mayor. It's time for Valley Focus on 98.3 and 96.5 WISS.
And in Valley Focus, we talk about things going on in the Valley. It's producer Todd and New Wisco Bureau Chief Lisa Hale.
You always have so much trouble with my title.
Well, I have other things I'd like to call you, but I don't. So, because this is a professional situation.
And it's a family show.
That's true.
Yeah. Lord have mercy. So, joining us today, we're going to talk Oshkosh Pride. We have TJ Hobbs and Grayson Seizert, who are with the Oshkosh Pride committee, I guess I would call it, group, organization.
Yeah, we are a 501c3 organization as of now. So,
hey, congratulations. I mean,
I think
as it's grown, right, something big happened this year because you were able to be sponsored for the location.
That was fantastic and a complete surprise, but we're very grateful. Yeah, the team decided to bring to the city and ask to have city sponsorship for our event, which for folks who don't know, that doesn't mean they're giving us any money. That just means that they are allowing us to use the leech without charging us anything as a nonprofit. And the board voted, and the mayor included, to approve that. And we're very grateful for that. And it's just excited to see, you know, the developments of Oshkosh and the symbolism of taking that step to say, you know what, we see what Oshkosh Pride is doing for the community, and we want to support that as a city.
Yeah, congratulations. That's awesome.
Absolutely. Now, tell me a little bit about the Oshkosh Pride celebration. What can we expect to see, and what day is it?
Yeah, so our celebration is on June 29th. It's from 2 to 7. It's obviously at the Leech, as we said earlier. But, I mean, I expect a great turnout. Obviously, we had a great turnout last year. We're hopefully expecting an even better turnout this year. But, I mean, you can expect vendors. We've got performers. We have a drag show. We have an increased number of food trucks this year, hopefully an increased number of everything. We've got more vendors. We've got more booths. But, yeah.
Now, I have to ask this. It's on the 28th this year. That's a Sunday, right?
29th
is a Sunday. Yep.
I don't know why I said 28th. I was thinking. But anyway, it's on June 29th. That's a Sunday.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. We usually are the last weekend of June, at least for the last several years. That's how we've been doing things. We just kind of picked whatever day the city had available, Saturday or Sunday. And we also try to make sure we don't schedule over other prides in the area. So if folks want to go to several, we just tried to pick a day that was available regionally.
For folks who are thinking about going to it, I think the thing that is really important is it's all inclusive. This isn't just for people who are in the LGBTQ plus community. This is for allies. This is for just families out there that want to have a good time and support what this is all about.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, a big part of what we do is just, you know, offering these safe spaces as well as places for folks to learn and bring their curiosities to just kind of see about all the different ways there are to be a person in the world, you know. So everybody's welcome, and the more the merrier.
It's not just a bunch of people gathering and wearing rainbow-colored clothing. There's a lot of entertainment that's going to be happening in addition to education. Can you tell me about maybe some of the entertainment that's going to be happening?
Yeah, sure. I can go ahead with that. So we have a returning band, Traveling Suitcase.
Yay!
We love them. Holy moly. Y'all know Traveling Suitcase. Nicholas and the team are fantastic. They're going to be kicking off our event. And then we have also a return of the Kobli Kwa Hmong dance troupe. They were with us a year or two ago. They're fantastic. I saw the pictures. I wasn't able to see the performance myself, but I heard great things. I was working that day, obviously, at the event, but I'm going to make sure I catch them this year, because they just get better every year. We have a drag show hosted by Jessica B. She has a team of six folks that she selected, including some stars from the state of Wisconsin in drag. So we are getting some grade A professional performances from everybody on our lineup, closing with Cat and the Hurricane, who we were so grateful to get the opportunity to work with. They were just touring, I believe, nationally or at least regionally. They're coming fresh off a tour out of Madison traditionally, and they're making their way up here to join us as our closing band.
Also, I have to say the education part. You mm-hmm. said the education part. That's a big part of it. There's a lot of service organizations that come out and they get involved and they're there to connect you, answer questions, all of that kind of stuff. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of service organizations who are going to have booths there. I think it was over 20 this year, which is great. I can't think of like a complete list off the top of my head, but I know like Diverse and Resilient, Reach Counseling, there's quite a few churches from the area, which is great to see kind of just like a diverse group of organizations. It's not people and organizations who just focus on the LGBTQ community. It's, again, this is an event for everybody, so these resources also apply to everybody.
I want to real quickly mention that it's free to get in. But bring your cash, because if you want to go to the food trucks, that's the best way to pay them, right?
As a small business owner, I strongly agree. absolutely. I mean, and we do also, for folks who are able and willing and would like, we are going to be accepting donations at the door to help us pay for next year's event. So not required, but definitely encouraged. But yeah, just enjoy those food trucks. We'll have a beverage truck as well for the first time. We're still a non-alcoholic facility, but it'll be like boba and lemonades and just delicious beverages for a hot June day. Yeah, and my gosh, the vendors are going to love that cash. Cash too. They're going to have so many cute treats for you. They're going to have so many wonderful handmade items, as well as we have a liquidation store joining us, A&J Liquidation.
Wait a minute. What is liquidation? So I'm thinking, I mixed up liquid and dation. So I'm thinking it's some sort of drink thing, TJ. Okay, help me out here.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like John Mino just now.
Oh, okay. You're good. So I could be wrong, but my understanding is it's kind of like a local small business, but like a TJ Maxx style, where it's, you know, new stuff that isn't handmade, obviously, but is sold at a discounted price. So, like, get your Christmas gifts now. Get them at Oshkosh Pride.
Give us a website or a Facebook page or socials that people can get more information about Oshkosh Pride.
Yeah, definitely. This year we launched our website, OshkoshPride.com. You can find us there. Our most currently updated social media is Facebook. We're also trying to update our Blue Sky and expand into TikTok. We're not there quite yet, but OshkoshPride.com or Oshkosh Pride Facebook for now.
Perfect. Going to wrap things up. Got John Mino and Jim Schmidt on the way. More from Mino and the Mayor coming up right after this.
This is WISS Berlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Apartment buildings near Tel Aviv destroyed. A hospital hit in southern Israel as Iran hit civilian targets this morning, wounding 40. Israel attacked an inactive Iranian nuclear reactor, still hoping for the U.S. bunker buster bomb to penetrate the main nuclear facility. ABC's Nicole D'Antonio.
In the White House Situation Room, sources say Trump was briefed on military operations for striking Iran, including a plan to destroy Iran's Fordo nuclear facility deep inside a mountain using a weapon only the U.S. has.
Iran is sending its foreign minister to meet with the European counterparts tomorrow in Geneva. In Israel's other war, the Gaza Health Ministry says 12 people have been killed this morning trying to reach aid distribution sites. Mud and rock slides have rendered I-40 impassable through the Great Smoky Mountains. Hurricane warning for Acapulco, Eric, now a Category 4. This is ABC News.